Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday. Going to be joined shortly by Andrew Allegretta from Vanderbilt Football, talking about Vanderbilt's placement in the ReliaQuest Bowl, taking on Iowa, coming up on December 31st. He'll have the call right here on 102.5 The Game. And, of course, Diego Pavia, Heisman ceremony coming up on Saturday.
On News 2.
On News 2, correct.
Yeah, 7 o'clock Saturday night on News 2.
Followed shortly by Boise State, Washington in the L.A. Bowl, I believe.
I had no idea.
And we are now joined on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. Andrew, as always, appreciate you taking some time. How's it going?
What's going on? How are you guys?
Doing great. Doing great. Looking forward to Saturday. Vanderbilt has a Heisman finalist, Diego Pavia, along with Fernando Mendoza, Julian Sayin, and Jeremiah Love. We asked you for your case for Diego Pavia last week, but things have changed slightly since then. Fernando Mendoza, of course, beats Ohio State in the Big Ten championship, and it feels like a two-horse race between those two guys, Mendoza versus Pavia for the Heisman. When you look at that matchup, why do you think that Diego Pavia would deserve the Heisman Trophy?
You know what's funny? I don't feel like things have changed that much. I mean, I get why it's come down to two people in all likelihood. And I get the fact that Mendoza, certainly very significantly, not minimizing the victory versus Ohio State. That is a big deal. And the fact that Indiana is undefeated, the number one seed, that is a big deal. But in terms of the best player in college football, winning a big game is part of that, but outside of that, for Mendoza, I'm not exactly sure what he did versus
I think their defense was really good.
Yeah.
I think their defense was outstanding, held them to 10 points.
Yeah, the defense was great, and certainly the call, the throw to win the game, I get it. But
pass protection was great on that play.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to disrespect Mendoza at all.
No.
I certainly believe he's a Heisman Trophy finalist. His numbers are fantastic, and he has lifted a program, in part with Cignetti. They've continued their trend, and he might be the number one or top 10 NFL draft pick. All of those things are very, very real. But in terms of how things have changed for the best player in college football, on a lot of different factors, to me, whatever I saw on Saturday didn't move me. Now, I'm not a voter, but it didn't feel like it shifted my overall perspective of everything. If he wins, he might win Mendoza because he had the last moment in the limelight. I suppose that's possible. And he might win just because of everything he's done throughout the course of the season. But I don't feel like Saturday changed much.
Well, unfortunately, I've heard people say, well, I was going to vote for Pavia, but after that throw, I'm going to vote for Mendoza. I'm a voter. That's dumb. I mean, that's dumb. All right? I mean, you know, look, if you could say after that performance, you know, that's a huge big game performance, you know, I think that takes him over the top. Then I'll go with you, but I don't think that performance, if he was behind Pavia, that performance doesn't move him ahead of Pavia. And Andrew, let me ask you this, because this is the way I see it. If you watch Diego and you know the player that he is, and you're like, okay, he's on my Heisman ballot, he's probably one, and if he's not one, he's certainly two. Okay? The problem I have is the people that haven't really watched him and aren't really on board with him aren't considering him, and I think he's going to get left off of too many ballots because people aren't going to consider him because he's not in the playoffs and because he plays at Vanderbilt. That's my concern from, or because they just don't like him because they see his mom on TV or he's a little brash, you know, even though they'd love to have him on their team or whatever. So I think, you know, it's Joe Rexroad talked about this with his poll. Diego's going to get the most votes, but I fear that he will not win because he will be left off of ballots by uneducated voters.
I also heard Willie Donick talk about this too, about how some of the SEC bias might factor in both positively and negatively for him.
Yes.
I don't know. I really don't. I wondered a little bit about three Midwest guys out there. A lot of people kind of being iffy on Mendoza. The people that were going to vote for Mendoza vote for Love because Love's a tremendous athlete.
And yes, he is.
Deserves to be in the conversation too. I don't know. I think if there's one thing that I sit back and wonder about a little bit is there is an Indiana thing and there is a Vanderbilt thing here, mm-hmm. which is both programs are on the up. Now, the one difference here, and I think this was part of the college football playoff conversation, and I'm still with Clark. Vanderbilt's not a victim here. We did not do enough to knock down the door, and that's been their phrase. But Indiana is effectively a year ahead of Vanderbilt in the upward trajectory. So there's less convincing that Mendoza and Indiana had to do this season about their validity. Vanderbilt spent most of the season trying to validate itself. So if Pavia doesn't win, I wonder a little bit if it's just because it's easier to vote for Mendoza because you've got a season of validation behind Indiana versus Vanderbilt. None of this, to me, we're discussing the wrong topics, right? If we're discussing the best player in college football, from someone that makes incredible, unique plays, from someone that
we're trying to reason why the best player won't win. That's that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and to me, it's not, and I respect, I have received.
It's not close, Andrew. You could say it. It's not close.
Really, it's really not close. The most impactful and best player in college football this season was Diego Pavia. From statistics, from wow plays, from team impact, I've kind of said that a handful of times. I think you can go to a bunch of different boxes, and Diego checks all of those boxes. And by the way, I went back and I watched a bunch of Mendoza highlights in the past 24 hours or so to see if I was missing something. He's a great quarterback talent. He makes tremendous throws. I don't know that he does enough across the spectrum of things that you would want to vote for, independent of the rest of his team, that makes him the Heisman winner to me. Again, he might be the number one NFL draft pick. That's great. He's a tremendous prospect. But all of these boxes, it's Diego from me, from stats. My favorite play of the whole season is when he put Jack Pyburn in a polenta on 4th-and-1 versus LSU. Mendoza's not making that play. Sane's not making that play. Norm's line always is, how do you defend Norm Jordan, our color analyst? How do you defend somebody that doesn't know what he's going to do? Pyburn was in his face on 4th-and-1 from the snap, and Pavia shook him and found MK for a first down. And, of course, Vanderbilt goes on to win that game versus a top 10 LSU team. It's like we have totally forgotten that LSU is number 10, 5-1 with elite defense when Vanderbilt beat him.
The other thing that we're not doing, Andrew, is appreciating that he's doing things that haven't been done in SEC history before. All right? I mean, his what was it, four straight games of 400 plus had never been done before. The statistical season he had this year, I think, is like top three all time in SEC history. So you can't tell me, and you're talking about you got to knock the door down, and I totally agree. If he's at Alabama, all right, if he's at Auburn, if he's at Florida, this isn't close.
And I think you saw Fox kind of, there's the Heisman moment from Fernando Mendoza. You watch almost every one of Diego Pavia's games,
there's a Heisman
and there is
moment
a Heisman
in
moment in there somewhere.
Yeah, I kind of take all of that with a grain of salt because if the economics of college football where Fox has a vested interest
in the Big Ten.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Big Ten. And I'm not I'm not knocking any of the players, but like we get lost in the narrative.
We
can't just kind of simplify things down to what did we see with our eyes? What numbers did they put up? What impact did Diego Pavia have for his team? Indiana is a year ahead on its trajectory. But the start of that trajectory didn't include Mendoza. It was Curtis Rorick. Is it O'Rourke or Rorick?
Rourke.
I can't remember.
There are years where I have hemmed and hawed about my ballot. Really, really hard. Really hard. Last year was hard.
Yeah.
Last year was hard. I'm not allowed to say how I vote, okay, until it comes out. I'm not allowed.
What you're implying is this season wasn't that hard for you.
What I'm saying is this is one of the easiest ballots I ever filled out.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had a conversation with a friend who's an Indiana person about just kind of the way the Indiana folks have reacted to Mendoza versus Pavia. And to him, a lot of it goes back to a season ago when they felt like the entire mechanism of college football, the SEC bias was trying to push Indiana out.
Yes.
And here they are again.
They're not wrong.
They're back. Yeah, I to some extent, Vanderbilt sits here with a feeling of disrespect all of the time. And I think a lot of that is valid. Sometimes it's just like an emotional gut reaction, too, where people aren't trying to be nefarious and malicious. It's just kind of the space that we occupy. Indiana, their fans kind of occupy that same space as well. But when you come off the emotional stuff, Again, if Mendoza wins, it's just they're a year ahead on their trajectory.
Yeah.
It's easier to validate him. They're 13-0. They're number one. They just won the Big Ten championship.
On national television.
None of those things have to do explicitly with Mendoza versus – and Vanderbilt isn't a team of one. But if we sit there, total percentage of offense I think is like 70 to 75% for Pavia and Vanderbilt and like 50 to 55% for Mendoza and Indiana.
Let me ask you this. Okay, because somebody asked me yesterday about the SEC, all SEC team being validating for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And I said, no, it is not.
It wasn't.
It was not. Because all they got on the first three teams, they only got two players on the first three teams. So if anything, you're telling me Pavia is even better.
Right. None of his offensive linemen, none of his wide receivers, none of his running backs.
Yes. No, I thought, and look, those are popularity contests. There's a lot of people voting on positions that they have no idea about. I couldn't tell you who the second best guard in the SEC is. I have no idea. All right. But they got totally disrespected. They won 10 games in this league, and they got two players on the, not the first team,
all
the
three.
First three teams. So if that's where they are, then Pavia is the Lord Almighty on the football field.
This is the easiest interview that I've ever had to do. It's just straight preaching to the choir. This is great. This is wonderful.
Look, I'm not a Vanderbilt guy at all. This is just what I've seen.
It's watching the games.
I watch the games, exactly.
I sit on the Commodore Hour, and I still feel this way, you know, half jokingly, you know, we tell our young kids that you can have two thoughts and two feelings at one time. I come out of this whole situation feeling the same way, that there is no team in this process this season that has been more squeezed than Vanderbilt. And there's a lot of different reasons for that, and that's okay. We understand the way that this works. The other part of this is still, Vanderbilt's not a victim, and they need to do more. And I think Clark and Jared Curtis and all of these people that are moving this thing forward will continue to do more. It's been a remarkable season. Like, I'm also not going to let whatever happens on Saturday, what happened on Sunday, the All-SEC, no one from a Vanderbilt perspective in black and gold land to me is going to take the shine off of 2025 and a 10-2 season.
100%, and we hope for Diego Pavia to come back with some hardware from New York this weekend. I did want to talk about the ReliQuest Bowl a little bit, but we might have to wait for next week for that. We still got a couple of weeks until Vandy heads down there to Tampa. Andrew, as always, appreciate you taking some time. Let's hope Diego Pavia is the first Vanderbilt Heisman winner in program history coming up in a couple of days.
I'd love to have some sort of trophy we can display after this 2025 season, and certainly the Heisman would be one of the best things that you can put on display over on West End.
100%. Thanks for coming on, Andrew. We'll talk to you next week.
As always, Jake.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. Again, the Commodores taking on Iowa in the ReliQuest Bowl on December 31st. And Diego Pavia up in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony this weekend. We'll react to what Andrew had to say. We'll also get to your phones coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.